is Yusuf.
This is
In Flight Entertainment.
Yes, it is the night before Christmas, right?
And we are doing part two of the Christmas Chronicles. Starring the always handsome Kurt Russell with his beautiful hair and beard.
Yeah, and the always beautiful Goldie Hawn.
Right, yeah, right. We can't forget her. I'm biased. I forgot her. Anyway. And this continues the story of Kate Pierce, who we met in Christmas Chronicles number one. She was a tween in that movie. She scared Santa, almost destroyed Christmas, but then she ends up saving Christmas with the help of her brother and the elves. And so now she is a teen. And her mother has met a beau and then taken them to a tropical Christmas resort. And she's just not feeling it because Christmas isn't Christmas without snow, according to her. And she feels that her mom is moving on from her dad because she has a new boyfriend. And the boyfriend has a son who's annoying as fuck, Jack. He's scared of everything, including his shadow.
The cowardly lion of the story, everyone.
Right.
Yeah, meanwhile, in North Pole, man, how you pronounce Belsnickel?
Belsnickel,
right. So Belsnickel is this boy in the North Pole who is plotting to take down Santa's workshop and everything that Christmas stands for. So he pretty much want to take it over and claim it as his own. And he have a devious plan to do it.
Yes. So Belsnickel used to be an elf, but he started to get greedy and selfish and was only thinking of himself versus the Christmas spirit and helping others. And that turned him into a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I guess you could understand Belsnickel's plight, General, because he was like, I hate humans and I got turned into one. So that's why he's pissed, because he's human. He do not like humans.
Yeah.
No.
So his plan to take down Santa and the North Pole, he actually was banned from there. So he had to get back. And in order to get back, he has to somehow convince Kate to open a portal to the North Pole. So he gets Kate and Jack to believe in Santa and make their wish, and they end up back in the North Pole. And they actually end up in the North Pole, but not in Santa's village. They're sort of on the outskirts of it.
Yeah,
Santa, this is where we see Santa, Kurt Russell, out hunting the Yule Cat.
Okay, tell us more about the Yule Cat.
Dude. Well, okay. The Yule Cat is a huge and vicious cat who lurks in the snowy countryside during Christmas. And he eats people who have not received any new clothes to wear before Christmas Eve. So, but the place that the, like, tradition or the story of the Yule Cat came along was basically wealthy merchants, people that had sheep. In order to get their peasants, their workers to finish all of their work, they threatened them that if they didn't finish their work and get new clothes, that the Yule Cat would come and kill them. So it was a way for wealthy people to convince their uneducated workers to do something to scare the shit out of them, which seems really, like, so wrong.
Oh, Lord. Wow. The more you know, guys, because I had zero idea of the whole story behind this mythical creature.
So it'd be like Jeff Bezos telling all of his workers that Trump was going to come in and or the anti-fascists were going to come in and shoot them all up. They didn't get all of those gifts out before Christmas.
Yeah, that would have kept the shop going. Oh, goodness. Wow. Well, Santa was a little was definitely unsuccessful in capturing said Yule Cat because he spots Jack and Katie on like the snowy forest. And he's like, oh, he's kind of like, oh, it's Kate. You know, it's like, oh, what are they doing here? And so he brings them to the north, back to the workshop, the Sam's workshop, which, yeah, I mean, the workshop is pretty cool. I mean, it's a nice little town those elves have, you know. They have movie theaters, they have like shops. Looks like the Grove, like a really big, you know, Grove.
For those people that aren't here in LA, the Grove is like an outdoor mall.
Yeah, slash farmer's market and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, so similar to the Polar Express. In the Polar Express, we see Santa's Village also. That feels like a small European town. Mm-hmm. And that's similar to here.
Right. Yep. And there we meet, and here we finally, you know, meet Mrs. Claus. Now, we've seen like a tease of Mrs. Claus at the end of the first Santa Claus Chronicles, because like almost like the last scene, you know, we see Mrs. Claus kind of come like, oh, how was your night or whatever. I forget what she said, but it was kind of like right before the end credits. But in this movie, we get, you know, full on warm, motherly Mrs. Claus and all of the magic she possessed. I want her to be my auntie. She's so warm, so loving, as Mrs. Claus should be. So Jack and Katie, they're in awe that one, they're in the workshop and in the village, and two, they finally meet Mrs. Claus, and you know, Mrs. Claus like, okay, well, you guys gonna stay here tonight, and then we're gonna get you back to what were they in, Cabo? New Mexico, some resort. I don't know.
Yeah, let's go with Cabo.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Cabo, right. And they're like, okay, cool. You know, so they, you know, they're eating there. Was this the movie dinner like the candy or the cake stuff tastes like vegetables or something like that? There. Was that it? Like, she was like, oh, these cookies taste like broccoli or.
She used broccoli to make, it was in this movie, but I can't remember if she used vegetables to make candy or it was candy that looked like vegetables.
Oh, it was one of the two. Yeah. So they were like, you know, they had a dinner and, you know, they sleeping it away. And at the same time, Belsnickel, have a elf, like an insider in the workshop, right? A little turncoat, a little snitch of an elf that's secretly working for Belsnickel. Yeah, so ultimately, Belsnickel infiltrates the workshop because on the tower, like the tower shoots out these kind of joyous little confetti smoke or smoke, something like that. I forget what it was.
Because they were in a protected bubble, it never snowed in Santa's village. Mm-hmm. And so at the tower in the center of the village, they have cannons that shoot out snow. But Belsnickel went and took over it, so it stopped shooting out snow, and it started shooting out something that would infect all the elves to make them more gremlin-like.
Oh, yeah. Some more gremlin. No, this is straight-up gremlin style.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he also made Comet sick. so that he couldn't lead the reindeer on to fly the...
Wait a minute. Didn't the Yule Cat, like, kind of beat up Comet?
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah.
Stepped out of the room for that.
Because the Yule Cat came into play again because he went in and kind of scratched up Comet. That's why Comet was all injured. And so Mrs. Claus had to go in there, kind of take care of Comet, try to heal Comet up, while Santa and Katie, they were going after Belsnickel, right?
Well, Belsnickel took the Northern Star, the Northern Star was like above Santa's village and gave them all the magic. And Belsnickel took that. He was going to go create his own village in the South Pole.
Right.
And so Kate and Santa went after Belsnickel to get the star back. And in doing that, they destroyed the star. So Santa and Kate had to go to the elves that originally gave him a star to create a new star.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Claus is working on saving Comet. And then that leaves Jack with his own job to do, which is to go climb a mountain and get a special flower to help Mrs. Claus create a potion to cure all of the elves in the village.
Right. Yeah. And he's not leaving alone because Mrs. Claus armed Jack with some special cookies. And it's not marijuana cookies, guys, so calm down. So one cookie is like an explosive cookie, right?
Yeah, I don't remember which one, but the snowman cookie was supposed to give him
courage or super strength or something like that. Yeah. And the other one was a smoke bomb cookie or something like that. Or explosive cookie.
Santa and Kate managed to get a new star, but Belsnickel comes after them and he's really good at making toys and devices, and he creates a time warp type of thing and sends them back to like 1965 or something. They end up at the Boston airport, which apparently is a time suck for holiday spirit.
Why is that?
You know, I've been in the Boston airport a number of times. It's not horrible.
Is it just a commentary on the Boston folks, or?
I think it's a commentary on traveling during the holidays. But you know what? The thing with traveling during the holidays is that you have a lot of people that aren't used to traveling, and then it's also during winter where you get a lot of winter storms, which can lead to a lot of delays. And the thing you just anytime you travel, you have to be prepared for a delay because it's going to happen. And things are going to go wrong and things are going to you're going to be delayed. You might miss your flight. Your flight might be canceled. You're eventually going to get to your destination. People just need to calm the fuck down. You have your computers, your cell phones, your iPads, a book, a magazine. There's so many ways to stay entertained. Just relax. Don't yell at the flight attendants. Don't yell at the counter people. You'll get to your destination. But in this movie, everyone's yelling. And this is an opportunity for Kurt Russell to play Elvis again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Was this in the 70s? Because it's revealed. It's
60s or 70s.
I think it was 70s, right? Because it's revealed that this kid that Katie comes across in the airport is actually her dad as a teenager. So she had like this adventure with her teenage dad, you know, in this time warp kind of thing, you know. So she finally had a moment with her father.
Oh, it wasn't 1970, it was 1990.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oops. Let you know how old we are.
and so while they're in the airport, actually, before they meet the young dad, there's a scene where there's this woman yelling at the counter that she needs to get a ticket back to Chicago because the director for this, Chris Columbus, yep, also did Home Alone. And so that woman is supposed to be like Kate McAllister's
that's funny
character, yeah, trying to get home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was waiting to drop to Chris Columbus. Like, it's funny because when this movie went off and I seen Chris Columbus, I'm like, wow, he directed this. Like, okay. I guess he was getting like holiday things. I got to direct a holiday movie, damn it. Like, it's like, yeah, I like that Christmas Chronicle movie. Like, can I do the second one? Okay, I'll do the second one.
Because Clay Cadis directed the first one.
Yeah.
And Chris Columbus came in for the second one.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense. Yeah. Yeah. And another, for the younger people, he did the first two Harry Potter movies.
There you go.
Yeah. So this is a perfect opportunity for Santa to, you know, break into another one of his, like, you know, dance and singing numbers with all of the flight attendants and patrons. And Darlene Love, she she got to do her thing, singing her song. For those who don't know Darlene Love. Is Danny Glover's wife in all of the Lethal Weapon movies?
Oh, yeah, she is.
Yeah, and she was a singer before she, you know, was in the Lethal Weapon movies. But if you were to be like, who is that? It's the wife of Danny Glover in all four Lethal Weapons. So and it was a nice little fun little thing they're doing, their little holiday singing numbers. And so, you know, they got everything fixed so Kate and Santa could get back. So they go back to try to correct the carnage that Belsnickel has inflicted on the village and the North Pole.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Mrs. Claus has cured Comet and Jack has brought the cure back, and they've created the antidote to fix all the elves. And he's going to go put the elf cure in the snow cannon so that he can shoot that all over. So, final act: Belsnickel and Santa Claus start to go at each other, play chicken with their sleighs and everything.
Because Belsnickel have like hyena hybrid little creatures, dogs, yeah, whatever the hell, yeah, things were.
And ultimately, Mrs. Claus is there to save the day, and she tells them to grow up and stop acting like children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Goldie Hawn say, "Calm down, you calm down." And so we have this kind of, you know, this moment of reconciliation, and we see how heartbroken and hurt and alone Belsnickel is, and why he harbors such ill feelings for Santa and the workshop and the elves. And so, you know, with Santa being Santa, you know, he rings Belsnickel in, and Belsnickel breaks down and just like, oh, okay, you know, I'm sorry. And then he turns back into an elf.
The kids make it home. Kate has realized that she's being a selfish little brat, mm-hmm, and that it's okay that her mother has found new love.
Exactly.
And so she tells her parents that, you know, her mom and her future stepdad, that she accepts them. Jack has stopped being a scaredy cat of everything and now is brave. Now, happily ever after.
Yeah.
So I know during Tuesday's episode, you mentioned that your three favorite Santas are from The Elf, Bad Santa, and The Christmas Chronicles.
Yep.
So did you notice what was playing at the theater in Santa's Village when the elves were good versus when they were
bad? That's the first thing I spotted when I see them running rampant. I'm like, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, the Gremlins we watch in Bad Santa. I wish they would have like did a shot with them and they're watching this. Like Gremlins watching Snow White, but no, that would be another movie.
Yeah, so when the elves were good, Elf was playing at the theater, and when they were bad, Bad Santa was playing at the theater.
I thought that was pretty clever. And okay, now we're talking this movie out together. I'm thinking, what if it was a conversation between Kate and her mom at the end? Like, you know, the mom tells Kate, you know, hey, you know, my new boyfriend got some connections to some vehicles. If you good, you might be connected to his family. this is all right. The reason I'm saying is because Tyrese was the boyfriend in this movie. That's why I'm kind of doing the whole Fast and Furious, like, kind of.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, if you're good, my man's going to give you like a turbocharged Mustang with some Nas. Stop being a little brat. Mm-hmm. Anywho. All right. So what's the Christmas Eve rating?
Okay. Our rating is drinking Christmas nog on the sofa with the family, putting your shoes on and grabbing the shovel to go get rid of all the snow that's piled up after the Northeaster, or going outside and taking on Krampus.
And all his minions. I mean, I'm going to say same as the first one. I mean, I think the direction wasn't drastically different, you know, knowing this Chris Columbus with this one. But I mean, you know, the pacing was good, you know, no slow moments, you know, there were higher stakes, you know, Belsnickel was an a-hole, as he's supposed to be. I get to see more Goldie Hawn, you know, more Gremlins. It was fine.
I enjoyed this one more than the first one. For the most part, I don't really care about Christmas movies, but, you know, this is cute.
Yeah.
It's more the adventure one. The first one was very much like adventures and babysitting, and this one was more of an adventure movie. So it was cute.
Yeah. It was fine. Yeah, it's a perfect movie for Christmas Eve. Honestly, like, yeah, if you guys like wrapping presents and stuff like that, yeah, throw it on. No, it's a fun movie to, you know, watch while you're doing your Christmas stuff.
Agreed. Yep.
Yes, yes. Okay, guys.
I mean, you know, if you want to do some Christmassy things and you give your kids the choice between this or singing carols, this might be more appealing to them.
Yes. Much more appealing. Yeah. You don't have to worry about, all the song stuff. Yes. Just watch Kurt Russell do his thing and everything will be fine. Yeah. Right. So there you have it. Christmas Chronicles Dos. We suggest it's a fun, you know, Christmas film for the family. Netflix, of course, check it out. And hope everyone have a safe and joyous and, you know, and make, I guess, Christmas tomorrow, make it work however you can make it work, just like 2020.
Right. And then next week we start to get into some of our New Year's movies. There's a throwback movie that takes place in 2021, so it feels like a good New Year's Eve movie.
Yeah, I mean, subject wise and all.
Yeah, and it has Keanu Reeves in it, which, you know what, is always a nice way to start the year.
It's like, what a bang, literally.
Right. Our new movie for next week will be an actual new movie.
Yeah.
Woo. Which is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, craziness. Who would have thunk it? Yeah, so hold tight, guys. And like I said, have a great Christmas if you celebrate, or Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all that good stuff. Until next week, I wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear a mask.
Yes. Ho, ho, ho.